Welcome back to the Bruce Allen Show with the Ads Point of View. You can email me at bruce@bruceallen.com and follow me on Twitter at Bruce Allen. This slot of therapy talk is normally filled by Dr. Jennifer Weberman, who is on maternity leave. We'll get an update on her status from her friend and colleague, Dr. Liz Mathias, who is joining us in her stead. Dr. Mathias is a licensed clinical psychologist and certified school psychologist who specializes in assisting children and their families with autism, ADHD, anxiety, and learning behavior disorders. She has a whole lot of other stuff in her bio, but I don't have time to do that because I want to hear from her directly. Welcome back to the show, Dr. Liz.
Thank you so much for having me back. What a pleasure.
Well, it is a pleasure to have the wisdom that my guests such as you and Pastor Drew and Dr. Tanya give me personally and my listeners. So very quickly, I haven't had anything other than a text exchange with baby Serena about 10 days ago, shortly after she was born. And it was amazing how verbal and technically proficient she was at a day and a half old. So since then, I haven't heard from her. So I don't know what she's busy. She probably got, as Richard suggested, she's probably already in college. So what's going on with Dr. Weberman and her baby?
Well, Serena's creating a Twitter account so we can all follow her very soon. I'm joking. But Jen is in the process of moving into a new home. In addition to having a new baby, she's moving into a new home. So I haven't had a chance to visit with her and baby Serena just yet because the dust is not yet settled for her. But as soon as it does, I'm going to go over and cuddle up that little baby girl. But Jen is recuperating from her C-section and loving up that sweet baby girl.
All right. Well, I'm glad to hear that. I think she should probably switch careers now, too, and add just another stressor in her life. just having a baby, moving, remodeling a home. Hello? I mean, she should know better than not to do that all at once. Oh, my God.
Feast or famine. That's the way life is. I know it is in my life. That's the way things always happen. It's either, it's a drought or it's raining.
Yes, indeed. So I want to talk about yet another issue that to make this show as about eclectic as possible. I heard on the radio the other day something that just stunned me. And I heard it from Michael Medved, who's somebody I know personally and somebody I respect. And he had a doctor on, I think it was a psychiatrist, talking about the decline in healthcare availability and the difficulty in getting healthcare or getting treatment for certain people with psychiatric disorders. And there was a statistic he quoted that since 1955, we have 95% fewer beds in psychiatric hospitals than we did. And just so people understand that number, make sure you understand that I got it right. That means if we had, and I'm picking this number, I don't know this number to be correct, but if we had 100,000 beds nationally in 1955, we now have 5,000. That is a staggering statistic because I feel to the heart of my being there is as much, if not more, mental illness going on now with all the drug use than there was in 1955. So I am very concerned. I have personal experience with the mother of my child needing institutionalization, and until she actually was finally picked up by the police and put into a hospital did she ever get any help, and she's still in an institution getting better. I have the same problem with a absolute lunatic neighbor who has terrorized the neighborhood, and the police have nothing to do about it. They're frustrated beyond belief. It's gone on for years and years and years. Once a kid gets to be 18, what is a parent to do? And I'd love your thoughts on this problem, which I think is really bad. We have now too much freedom, too much, you know, privacy control versus maybe there was a little too much extreme control and institutionalization a long time ago. Now we've gone the other way. Your thoughts on this?
Well, the pendulum has definitely swung in the opposite extreme, and it is an opposite extreme. With deinstitutionalization years and years ago, we went from having people too many people in hospitals to now hospital beds are not as available, and there are people out there who are unstable, and outpatient services are not sufficient. It's not sufficient once a week to go to an outpatient appointment where you can get your medication managed, speak to someone for a little bit, and then go when there's a mental illness or a substance abuse problem that is so pervasive. It affects every single aspect of their family, their ability to self-groom, their ability to sleep, their ability to prepare meals or wash clothes or engage with family members or people in the community. And it's just, how could that be enough? It's definitely not enough. And, you know, listening to you speak about the issue, I wonder, too, if certain people, like from the Sandy Hook incident, if that was a gentleman who couldn't have benefited from being institutionalized and having the opportunity to have more round-the-clock care, because clearly he wasn't stable, and people around him knew it. But I think this is what I face a lot, is what do you do? What options do I have? You
know, they're over 18, they are extremely limited. At least parents might have the opportunity to institutionalize a child if they could pay for it. But the other thing you told me on break that I think is really very, very primary is, at least what I understand, and you being the professional, you'll correct me, but I understand now, since we have it in the family a little bit, that schizophrenia is an incurable disease, but it can be managed by meds. But that many of these psychological disorders, the people get on these meds and they stop taking them for one reason or another. They don't like the side effects, or they think they're better. And that is an incredible example of where being institutionalized at least will allow proper med management. Whereas if you trust them with a once a week, you know, pick up their meds that they'll take them, they can just dump it down the toilet.
Right. Or over time, you have, because of the medication, people are gaining weight with the antipsychotics. And so the dosage has to be constantly adjusted, or you have to add new medications. So the medication, even if someone is being medication compliant, I should say, it may not be effective. So you have people who are not taking it, or people who are taking it and it's not working. And
because
so
they don't give
someone
proper treatment. It's just bam, 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 thank you, in and out. Nobody's really looking at and taking the proper blood test. And this is not a good thing.
It's horrible. No, and when I worked in a private school for children on the autistic spectrum, there were several children who were going through adolescence, and they turned into these big men and women who were taking the antipsychotics, because antipsychotics are used to help stabilize mood and decrease aggression. And unfortunately, these are children who sometimes were nonverbal, and they would become so aggressive towards their parents that they got bigger than their parents, and their parents were now fearful for their own well-being. So now what? You know, you have a child who's going to school and beating up the staff. They're going home and beating up their parents and siblings and destroying the home. So what's the next option? And I know for me, I would call up the psychiatrist and say, what can we do? We need to have this child in a hospital, in an inpatient unit, where we can manage their medication over the next couple of weeks and find some sort of stabilization, because this isn't going to work. The parent can't manage them. I'm concerned for this parent's well-being, especially, you know, when I think about this one particular mother. She was very little, and her son outgrew her by quite a bit, and he was heavier than her and stronger than her, and he would pick her up and throw her against the wall. So now what? And it was a huge battle. I would say take them to the emergency room and have someone there then admit them. Sometimes that would work, but if it happened that you took your child to the emergency room and then they calmed down, now we have nothing. So I remember I would make a ton of phone calls in those moments and say, listen, the child might come to you and be calm, and if they are, I just want you to know this is what just happened. But it was a huge battle. It was a lot of advocacy and a lot of just practically begging anyone I knew in the system to say, this child is going to hurt his or her mother, and we need to do something. What are the options? Unfortunately, there are not many.
Well, that's because we've legalized being crazy. We've legalized, in Santa Monica, California, near where I live, there are so many homeless living on the street because we've legalized being a bum. Being a bum or being a vagrant or being a disturbance to the peace used to be illegal. You were thrown in jail, and now you can just live on the streets. I went to Burbank yesterday to go to a screening on Maleficent. And as we drove by, I forgot where, it was the most public of places, there was a homeless person sleeping right on the sidewalk. And I thought, you know, the police, I guess, have to let him stay there in public view of kids and everyone else and probably defecating and urinating. This is, we've run amok with freedom. Now, the irony is the left really want freedom for that, but they don't want freedom of speech and all the other freedoms that they're trying to stop. But I won't talk politics with you. So it's scary. Dr. Mathias, this is scary.
This is very scary because I worry about children who do have the and adolescents and young adults and what happens when they turn 18. And this is a big issue in the autism community is what happens when these children do turn 18. Where do they go? Not just for those who are aggressive, but, you know, I think as a country, what are we doing for the children whose special needs, who are not going to go on to college, who are not going to go on to be able to live independently and are going to continue to need care throughout time? What are we doing? And I think this speaks to a larger scale problem, and I think you're right. We've given too much freedom, but then we're paying for it internally in society.
Yes, obviously. Listen, we're out of time. Please tell my listeners where you can be found.
Well, I can be found at www.psychedconsult.com. Mm-hmm. Or my email is drliz@psychedconsult.com, and I can be reached by phone at 973-400-8371, and I'm here to answer any questions. I know we're talking from one coast to another, but I do have Skype capabilities, and I'm happy to help anyone that I can.
Terrific. I hope I'll see you at Dad Chat tonight or next week. And thank you so much for joining me. Listeners, I will be back after these commercials with a short wrap-up.
Accentuate the positive. Eliminate the negative. Latch on to the affirmative. Don't mess with Mr. In-Between.